Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
Good evening, our fellow lovers of love, and welcome, Sacramento, to another night of... Oh, good Lord, who knows what's going to happen tonight? We've got a whole plethora of subjects on the docket tonight. God, my brain is frozen up. So in this episode of Late Night Love, we discuss how to deal with various challenges and opportunities in love, parenting, and work. We answer questions from the lovosphere about topics such as family conflict, body image, polyamory, passion, boundaries, etc. There's a whole long list of those things. So come join the fun for an informative conversation about love here late at night. But before we start, Lovey, I've been watching some of these things from what we'll call the lovosphere, but you know, it's these relationship advice podcasts or TikToks or whatever they do. Do you see any of these? Do you come across any? Some of these are okay until you realize they're just, their shtick is just for clicks and how repetitive and simplistic they all are. And so, but the real problem is they're pretending. They end up with these weird discussions about high value this and what high value women are looking for and what high value men are looking for. I'm like, none of you people know what the heck you are talking about. Who in the hell talks like this? The only people that talk like this are the people who go on these podcasts trying to either promote their podcast or promote their OnlyFans page, right? You end up with these weird collections of people, essentially, you know, there's either these quasi-militant feminists, sort of, and these people who consider themselves alpha male or high value men, even though they really just don't do anything but have a podcast. They're good at marketing themselves, which is fine, right? It's, I suppose, it makes earns, it's a living, but none of these people know what the heck they're talking about. They're all in their early mid 20s, right? And they're telling us how it, people look like, you know, at 40, no one cares about that stuff anymore past their 30s, 35. If you still are, you're still in high school. What the hell's wrong with you? Most of us have moved on. And it's just listening to them. It's like, well, yeah, no one cares if you're a single mother. If you're a single mother with six kids with five different dads, that's a different thing. Someone may judge you on that, right? But if you've got four kids by two dads, no one's going to be judging you at 40 years old for that.
Sorry, no.
No, it's just not going to happen. No, no.
No one cares.
Yeah, if it's six by six, you know, you're not a very good person to make, don't make good judgments, do you? That's, you know, it's just some of these things are self-evident and some of these things, you know, luck doesn't always fall our way, you know. So it's irritating, the simplistic nature of these things, and you realize it's just for clicks and clickbaiting. And I'm not going to call any one singular one out because we're not big enough to care. But it's annoying because they're pretending to give relationship advice. They're pretending to give life advice. And all they're really doing is selling a superficial view of the world and on yourselves and on your relationships. And it's really quite sad because there are some underlying points that they both make. But instead of, you know, actually listening to those fundamental arguments about what is it that you as an individual value and how are you going to manifest that in your life? You know, stop worrying about what other people value. What do you value? And when you start manifesting that, the person you are looking for will show up.
Yes.
So, you know, stop worrying about what other people are looking for is my advice in your relationships, and look for what you're looking for. Manifest that. You know, if you want a traditional life, manifest that traditional life. That's what you want. Go for it. It's okay. If you want something more experimental, on the edge, there's nothing wrong with that. But you want someone who wants that with you. And when you manifest that, that person will find you. because, you know, they're both you're both looking for the same thing rather than trying to find somebody pretending to be wanting to look for something different. So I don't know. Honesty. You know, we all talk about, you know, don't tell people that you like something when you don't. Don't tell people that you like something when you don't. And anyway, if you've got a comment about that, you can send it here to us at latenightlove.us. Love@latenightlove.us, by the way. And you can always find us in our past shows and whatnot at latenightlove.us. And push all those buttons that we hate to ask you to do. And don't forget, you can join us here on KUBU 96.5 FM on Sacramento on, in about 20 minutes. You can find last week's show. And then first thing Tuesday at midnight, Tuesday morning, Monday night, whenever, depending upon. I have to change the time on that just so I can get off. It's midnight between Tuesday and Monday, Monday and Tuesday. I don't know what that is. I'm a night owl, so midnight's still Monday in my mind. But I guess technically it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, yeah.
Oh, God, that's going to kill me. That is going to kill me. So we're going to jump in right to relationships this week. And you've got some doozies here, and I just kind of scanned a couple of them. So how am I supposed to answer some of these? All right, let's go.
Okay. I've just discovered that my male 29's girlfriend, 27 female's family, is putting me down in front of her and me. Can I ever build the trust? They've been speaking in a foreign language about him.
That's, sadly, it's not unusual. It's rebuild what trust? Your trust is with your girlfriend, not with your not with her family. Sadly, is what it is. The only way to do that is to, you know, do your thing, make their daughter happy, and they will eventually come around or not, but they're not the important part in that relationship. So I wouldn't make them an important part of that relationship. You know, I think that's the best way to deal with it. So is sometimes the best way to deal with something is to not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, and who you're rebuilding trust with.
Your girlfriend.
Why are you having to rebuild trust with the girlfriend?
Well.
Was she doing it?
No.
Well.
But she was listening, but she took her time telling him about it.
Well, yeah. She told him about it, though.
Yeah.
Who wants to tell someone about that? But yet you eventually do the right thing and you do it. So why? There's no trust to rebuild. You have the trust with the person that matters. You know, the trust is with the person that matters. So there's no trust to rebuild. And the family is irrelevant. So leave it irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
How could I, 29 female, forgive my husband, 30 male, for calling me a fat cow?
What, were they in the middle of an argument and kind of hurling insults at each other and things get out of hand? Yeah. Were you pleasant? Was this were you part of the of the escalation? You know, were you sending insults as well? If you're going to send them, you've got to receive them with the same grace you would want. And this is why you don't do that, because things get out of hand. So if you want to forgive your husband, maybe you need to look in the mirror, forgive yourself for playing your part. Doesn't mean you have to accept any more than your part, right? Takes two to hurl insults back and forth at each other. Either one of you could have stopped and walked away, and neither one of you chose to, right? This is how these things happen. Did you go too far? Yes, but my guess is she went too far. As does these things tend to do.
That's why we don't do that.
Yeah. And the only reason we don't do that is because we've done that before. We know
not productive.
It's not productive because now not only do you have the original thing you were arguing about to deal with, now you've got more. So start with forgiving yourself. and then move on and have a discussion, because then you'll be in a better mind space to do it. Accept responsibility for your part in the argument. It's very attractive. It relieves the pressure of the other person having to, okay, now I can accept my responsibility. You don't have to accept more. Just accept yours.
Yeah.
You know, you go, hey, we were arguing, things got out of hand. I said things I didn't, but this particular thing really hurt me. I was part of the spin up. I just wanted to let you know. And see what happens. It's actually quite attractive because you relieve the pressure. Yeah, I know. That was really stupid, wasn't it? The hell were we thinking? You know, if it's a somewhat healthy relationship, that's where that goes. So that's how you do it. And should you have to be the first one? No, but somebody does.
Somebody has to, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you're the one who has to eat it. And, you know, I'll take the first bite. You both end up sharing the sandwich. That's the way these things work, right? Okay, what's next?
My male 28 girlfriend, female 28, told me she's sexually open and might want to have sex with other guys and ask how I'd feel.
We got to rewrite these things so they make flow easier. But anyway, that's a different discussion.
Now, she started out the relationship saying she wanted monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
She wanted a monogamous relationship.
Well, she's now saying,
and now she's changed.
She hasn't changed. She just no longer wants this relationship, isn't afraid to say it. This is her way of getting it out, because she's going to know he doesn't want it. And so now she gets it. It's kind of a chicken way of ending a relationship, but it's a way to end a relationship. It's better than others. It's better than others.
Why can't you just say, I loved our time together, but it's come to an end?
Maybe she can't accept it yet. It's what she actually means. She may not accept it yet, but it's what it actually means. She's on the hunt for a new partner. It happens. She's afraid to let the old one go because of feeling safe.
It's very human.
Yeah. I'm not blaming anybody. It's hard. And if, in a sense, she's being as honest as she can bring herself to be, right? And you can appreciate that she trusted you enough to be that honest with you, as honest as she can be. She may not realize she may. Who knows? We'll give her the benefit of the doubt, because the line isn't that different. It's not that far of a line. So we'll give her the benefit of the doubt. But yeah. So you're going to have to decide, you know, or this is a real change in her thing. And I kind of doubt that. This sounds more like a way to end a relationship without. So my suggestion would be to have that conversation. Is this really, it's one of those relationship wise. You either go down a path or you go down alone. Yeah. And understanding that a path like that likes lands to a path alone later on anyway. Just sheer statistics. Yeah. So I don't have a specific suggestion. Just contemplate what you want out of life at 28 very carefully.
Yes.
Okay. What's next?
My 29 male wife, 27 female, says she's not in love with me. Can it be fixed? You know, in a long-term relationship, you're going to fall in and out of being in love. Being in love is a very high emotional state that the body literally cannot maintain. It ebbs and flows. Now, you also, during those times when you're not in love, you choose to love that person. You still love them. You care about them. You want to be with them.
Well, there is another view to this. When someone tells you something like this, you believe them. Because maybe it can't be fixed. Maybe they have a moment where they're telling you the truth. Now, granted, you're together for 15 years. You have periods of time where your feelings are, shall I say, mundane with your partner, right? It's not that you're out of love with your partner, but you just don't have, there's no need to have that intense feeling because there's no need to have that intense feeling for this period of time. It happened, right? Life, pain, sickness, health, all that stuff. All the stuff that comes around with life, it happens. And you sometimes that intimate connection feelings ebbs and flows. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But you're still in love with your partner. You never sit there during that period of time, I just don't love her anymore. You may have a question.
Well, you still love them. But that in love
that's
thing.
I'm saying
that Google Gaga butterflies, the body literally can't maintain that level of endorphins and adrenaline. I'm sorry. Yes,
but that's not what she said. She said, she didn't say I'm lacking passion at the moment. She says, I'm not in love with you. I would never, it crossed my mind to say I'm not in love with you. I lack passion at the moment. You know,
yeah.
We're kind of a rut. You annoy me right now, but I still love the crap out of you, right? You know, none of these
things. Well, you still love. Love is a choice. You're not in love.
I'm just saying.
I'm splitting hairs here, aren't I?
You're feeling an emotion. She's saying something. She's telling you that that deeper feeling is gone.
Oh.
Can it be fixed? Depends if it's really gone or if it's buried under something. Stress, pain, mm-hmm. anger, hurt. Trauma. But my suggestion is when someone tells you that, you tend to believe them. Mm-hmm. Now, can it be fixed? Maybe. Does she want to fix it? Is the other part of the question, which we can't answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're romantic tonight. You're romantic at heart tonight.
Yes, I am.
Go for it. All right. I'll give you that one. Lubby's in the mood for love tonight, so let's go on. All right, what's next?
Is my 28 female husband's male, 32 male, don't ever hang up on me, a legitimate boundary?
Well,
you don't like to get hung up on, but sometimes, you know.
Yeah, well. It depends how it's actually phrased. It really annoys me when someone hangs up on me. That's one thing. Don't you ever hang up on me? Would you say that kind of
verbiage?
Yeah. The verbiage can be the red flag, or it can just be someone who's inartful at expressing their feelings. That's something you have to be there to understand. But I would be, if that quote, don't ever hang up on me, depending upon context, that can be disturbing.
Yeah.
Or it could just be inartful. You know? That's my concern. That's what I would. I don't like the phrasing of that in particular. But without knowing context around it, I don't know. Right? It's hard to know. I don't want to be overly harsh.
You hung up on me once.
Yeah, you were probably annoying me, and it's probably one of those times where it's better to hang up on somebody and deal with that later on than what's going to come out my mouth next. That's a strategic that's called a strategic retreat. No, we'll deal with this problem. It's better than the next one. Yeah. That's all it is. You know, sometimes you get to control, as a human being, you do get to control when you exit a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, you could be more artful than hanging up. But I get to say, you don't get the same joy of hanging up today like you did when we were younger. You got to really hang up a phone back in our day.
Slam!
Yeah, you slam your phone now and it's costing you $1,000. You know, you could bang that thing, bells would ring, and the whole kit and caboodle. It was great. Now it's useless. Hang up your phone. Damn it, hang up. That's what happens. Oh, it's annoying. All right. Okay, what's next?
My boyfriend won't let me finish. What should I do?
Is this a romance question stuck here in the top?
Yeah, kind of.
What do you mean? He won't let you, or he doesn't know how?
Well, he does his thing.
Uh-huh.
And he's 24.
Yeah.
And he's a little quick.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really focus on her.
Yeah.
And she gets ramped up, and then Shazam, he's done.
Okay, well, this one's actually easier to solve than you think. You just switch the order that your activities take place in. Now, it may take her to be a bit, more aggressive, and take a little bit more charge.
Yeah.
Especially the first handful of times. But they're young. They can adjust. Yeah. You know, artful education, we'll call it.
There you go.
Yeah. She needs to engage in some artful education of her partner. These are things that happen, and you have to decide how you deal with it, you know. You know, maybe he's got a medical issue or maybe just inexperienced.
I think he's inexperienced.
Yeah. So now you just change the order in which things occur. You have the power of womanhood. You've got great power under these things. As long as you take it, but you do have to take advantage of it, right? You have to actually use it. You do. Women have great power to control the order of how things go. But, you know, you have to actually do it. You have to be a bit more.
You guys are pretty easygoing when it comes to the.
Especially when you're 24.
What's going to happen, you know?
Don't even know what he's doing. Yeah, fine. You know, because you don't know. You don't know any better. So, yeah. Trust me, you'll both have a better time. So take a little bit of charge for a few times.
There you go.
And he'll learn some lessons, and he'll incorporate it into his toolkit. And over time, you'll all be better at it. So there we go. That's awfully early in the show for that kind of discussion. All right, what's next?
What should I, 38 male, do now that my girlfriend, 37 female, has finally admitted to cheating on me 2 weeks ago? I may need some counseling.
At least. Hey, yeah. At least they're only girlfriends. We don't know how intertwined their lives are. Yeah, if they're living together and have an intertwined life, that's actually a different discussion than if they're, you know, seeing each other all the time and, you know, hang out on the weekends and whatnot, maybe once or have dinner once or twice during the week. That's a different level of relationship. If it's the latter, well, then you probably just start looking for a different relationship. If it's the former, your life is intertwined. It may be worth the discussion on what happened. See if there's something to be repaired, or if, you know, the relationship has run its course. You know, who knows? So it really kind of depends. If it's a marriage and anything but name over, you go the second path. You go and you find out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's you're still in the, hey, we're discovering each other phrase, it's probably not a sign that things are stable for the long term. So, you know, we are human beings, and human beings do stupid things. Sometimes they don't even know why. But, you know, you can deal with that. There are things that can be, you know, problems that can be faced, can be dealt with, is the hope. How successful you are at dealing with them, percentages aren't high, but you can't hit a percentage if you don't roll the dice. That's a terrible mixed metaphor. All right, what's next?
My male 32 wife, 26 female, was sexually assaulted. How can I even help her and save our marriage? She is showing signs of depression.
Yes.
She won't go to counseling.
Oh, we are the wrong people to answer these questions. But the counseling, if she won't go to counseling, he needs to go.
Yeah.
He can go to counseling. They have counseling. And, you know, if you don't have a lot of money, they have group therapy sessions for that. You can do that on your own. You don't need to do that for her. How can you help her? All you can do is support her journey, as difficult as it is. When she's ready to face it, be there with her and for her. And in order to do that, you're not going to be able to push her through this. The only way she's going to be able to go through this is if she feels supported. And sadly, that's hard. Because you actually, as a man, we want to fix things. And you can't fix this. She has to fix it. Mm-hmm. And there may come a time, and I hate to say this, where when you love something, you have to let it go. She may have to hit a rock bottom before she can stand back up. And sometimes that means losing everything. It's a story as old as time.
That's sad.
Yeah, there's nothing but sadness
in this one. Yeah,
there is nothing but true and utter sadness. And your best hope is to just give her the unconditional love you promised. Seek help for yourself, because your trauma is different, but it is real.
Yes.
And so you can seek help for yourself. And maybe in your courage, she will find some of her own.
Yes. Okay.
Jesus, love.
Sorry.
No, it's...
This is what came up on Reddit.
I know. It's just a tough one. We probably should have a hotline. We got the mental health hotline. If you are struggling with your mental health, you can always call the mental health hotline, 1-866-903-3787. That's mentalhealthhotline.org. Yes, please, for the love of your family and your community. If you need that, seek it.
Yes.
Okay. What's our last relationship question?
After a breakup, my ex-girlfriend got a new boyfriend. Is that normal?
Yes, and you shouldn't be caring. It's hard not to, don't get me wrong, but you shouldn't be caring. It's time to move on.
There's always one who starts a new relationship first.
And the truth is,
the one left over is having to deal with that.
She may have had him on the shelf, and you know, he could have been the reason you left, but you know what? Then it wasn't meant to be. If you love something, let it go. Right, it's for the best. Just accept that it's for the best and move on. That's all you can do in these kind of things. Right? There's holding on only makes you carry around a big old rock on your back. Do you really want to rock around for the next 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, 6 decades with a rock on your back? No. So drop it now and move on. That's my suggestion. Right? Even if it hurts, drop it. Let it land on your toe. Your toe will heal much faster than the rust and having to carry this stupid thing around with you. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We are going to move on to parenting questions.
Okay. 9-year-old male insists on singing in the talent show. Worried bullies will eat him alive. Now, this little boy, he wrote a song, which is very good, but he insists on singing it himself, and is not a good singer.
Yeah, most 9-year-olds aren't. Very few 9-year-olds are actually good singers. But, so, the boy is worried that he's going to get bullied.
The mom is worried.
The mom is worried that, don't worry about it. He's not. Let him show his courage. So let him not be good. He doesn't care about not being good. He wants to sing his song. Let him sing his song. Let him try. Let him fail. Failure is not the end of the world. Failure is the first step to success. Anybody will tell you that. If you don't believe me, ask Elon Musk, most successful person on the planet. And he'll tell you he's failed more often than he's succeeded. It's just the nature of things. You want to set him on a path of future success? Let him try and fail. Not try to fail. Let him try, then fail. And you know what will happen? He'll either learn to sing or he'll learn to songwrite. He'll either want to sing. He'll find some other way to perform. He's got an itch to perform. He's got an itch to create. Let him chase it. He's not fragile. This is a strong kid. Don't make him fragile. And he knows. Yeah. He knows what environment he exists in. He's not oblivious. He knows. He can deal with his bullies. If there are any. So, yeah. Let him be strong. Congratulations. I'm raising a strong kid. How's that?
There you go.
Okay.
Are we supposed to get dressed up to do stuff? Her family is always in sweats, and she goes out and she sees people all dolled up, you know, and she's like, am I doing this wrong or something?
Well, you can do it. This is the great thing. I'm assuming she lives in the United States.
Yes.
Or some country of that nature, some Western country or whatnot. The nice thing is you can pretty much do what you want. You want to dress in sweats and a hoodie, you can dress in sweats and a hoodie. If you want to put on a suit and tie, you can put on a suit and tie. You want to dress like a 1920s couple going out on the town, you can dress up like a 1920s couple going out on the town. You can put on clothes and dress up like go do cosplay. You can go do a Renaissance. You can do whatever you want. And people might look at you funny, but no one's really going to care.
Not really.
So, yeah. Now, the question is, you're feeling that maybe it's not your style. Maybe dressing up in sweats and whatnot isn't your style. That's okay. Find your own. You want to dress up a little bit more when you go out? Dress up a little bit more when you go out. It makes some people feel good. You know, people like me don't get I don't feel better when I dress up, right? I dress up nicely, but I don't feel any better. I feel like I'm in a monkey suit. So it just feels awkward. Right? It doesn't feel right to me. But some people feel better. They feel better about themselves. So do it. That's my suggestion. If you want to dress up, dress up. If you don't, don't. Simple. Okay. What do we got?
Okay. Wife does not want me to have a say in our child's name.
Okay. What kind of names is he asking for?
Oh, well, he didn't stay.
Or is this just a generic thing that she's just being overly controlling? Or it may be she's spent the last 10 years of her life since she's like, maybe even since she's five, wanting to have a kid with, you know, this name or that name.
And that's more than likely.
And so, you know. And rather than saying that, she's just gonna like, but you know, most men, if you tell them why you want the name, even if it's silly, well, okay, fine. We don't care that much unless we have the same silliness, you know, or family tradition where we've got, you know, that's the only time where those things will come into conflict. We don't care that much because we're gonna call them whatever we're gonna call them anyway. Yeah, one of my sons was Bubba for the longest time. Comes from nowhere. We just called him Bubba. Don't know.
Who is that?
Mitch.
Mitch?
Yeah. It was Bubba. Nothing in his name. There is no combination of any part of his name would get that. But that's what we call him. So we don't care. We'll call him what we want anyway. So, so it's... And I don't even know where that came from. It just happened. It was one of those nature things. So, yeah, unless she's being overly controlling, my guess is, yes, she's got And you'll know if she's being overly controlling. So you might want to ask her where the names come from, why. Or, again, you're giving goofy names. Like, you know, you want them to be named Venus Flytrap or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or you want to name them Wayne Gretzky or something like that. You know, I want to name my child LeBron. She's going, no, he's not a basketball player. And we're Asian. You know, there might be reasons that she doesn't want the names you chose. And she just goes, no, you don't get a say. I'm tired of this argument, which isn't actually right. You know, she shouldn't actually be able to do that if she's being that serious. But anyway, before I get myself in trouble, let's move on. Okay.
How can I care for my under two with back pain? That's not. This says my two under two, but there was no twins or involved. It was just one. And back pain, can't pick the child up and the child doesn't understand.
Oh, she's got back pain or he's got back pain.
Yeah.
And they're under two.
And they want picked up.
And they want picked up and they can't pick them up. Well,
right.
You just do the best you can.
Extra, sit down and cuddle them a lot.
As best you can. Kids are very resilient. They're very resilient. You give them as much time and as much attention as you can. You know, they don't understand, but they'll adapt. It's the time and attention they really, really want.
Yeah.
So just give them the time and attention. And if you calmly try to explain it, you'll have to explain it over and over again. Well, eventually, it might be the first thing they understand, which is going to be sad, but they'll eventually understand.
Mommy's got an owie, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what's next?
7-year-old son thinks that dad is correct than mom because he's a man.
Well, yeah, if 7-year-old daughter will think mom's more correct because she's the dog woman, this is just how that goes at that age. It's just welcome to this thing called Mother Nature. Right?
Mm.
It just is. But don't worry, in about 3 years, that's going to completely flip. You're going to have daddy's little girl and mommy's little boy. So you're all good. just wait. Just wait this one out. That's all. Because right now, what dad is a playmate. Dad throws him around, does all the kind of stuff, and you're the one who's taskmaster, right? So, of course, dad's right. Okay. But in a few years, when dad's wanting 7-year-old son to go take out the trash, do the lawn, you know, mow the lawn, rake the leaves, wash the car, and mom's the one giving him cookies and... it's going to change. Just saying. So just patience. Every dog has his day, so to speak. These things change. Just trust me. Okay.
Stepdaughter's mom died and they had a good relationship. Mm-hmm. And now the daughter is really doesn't want very much to do with her. She's really attached to her dad right now.
Yeah.
And the stepmom doesn't know what to do.
You do nothing. It's not your role. It's painful. But you do nothing. Of course she's going to be attached to her dad. Your role is to support them through this time. That's it. You do that, she'll come back. She needs her dad right now. Your job is to support them both. So do that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get to be on the field, and other times your job is to hand them the water bottle on the sidelines. Right now, your job is to hand them the water bottle. But you're still an important part of the team. They need you more than ever.
Yeah.
Because they'll forget to drink that water. So give them some food. Give them the love they need. And then I can't say. It'll be longer than 6 weeks, shorter than 6 years. At some point.
In between there.
In between there. Life will return to some form of normalcy. So, okay. What's next?
Toddler tantrums are getting worse and I can't seem to do anything to help. Well, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is they'd peak it around 3.
Yeah.
And then they slowly taper off and you get a, you know, pretty normal 5-year-old, but with, you know, reasonable meltdowns. And you know, and the good news is that this doesn't last. This is just a short period of time. You couldn't do this.
No, the one thing to remember is to not feed the beast. So don't reward their tantrums. That's the only thing to remember. Because if they reward them, they're more inclined to do them, even if they don't have anything to be tantrumed about.
Mm.
They'll get them worked up in a tantrum just to get what they want, rather than actually be worked up in a tantrum. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Don't feed the beast is my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's easy when you're a dad and the kid's throwing a tantrum. You just stick them under the arm and you march them off to wherever they are. You sit them in the room, whatever. You know, it's easy that way. But, so it can be more difficult if you're more dainty. So, but that's my kind of suggestion. Don't let them run the roost and you'll be all right. Let them feel their emotions, but, you know, don't let them control. Okay. You're still not going to get the candy. You can throw the tantrum all you want. Still not going to get the candy. My kids only threw what? I think each one probably threw one tantrum in a store.
One. Yeah, I had 3 girls, and 2 of them was once.
Yeah.
But my middle daughter, if you would know her, you would understand it took twice.
Yeah. And you just step over them and you keep walking, keep shopping. Yeah, okay. Throw all the fit you want.
You have to be willing to withstand public scrutiny a little bit, you know, because people get kids scream bloody murder. People are going to come looking.
Yeah. I think one of them, we just had to just grab them and walk out.
And I've had people tell me, you know, hang in there, mom.
Yeah. It is what it is, right? So, all right, what's next? Yeah, it's just time will work that out. Just don't. Feed the trolls. Is the thing.
Is the advice. Yeah.
Okay.
Any advice for 1-year-old not sleeping?
Or is it 1-year-old not sleeping, or what? Not 1-year-old not sleeping when they want the 1-year-old to sleep.
Yes.
that's okay. Well, if you want to force the 1-year-old to a schedule, that means you have to keep them up when you want them to be up, so they'll be able to sleep when you want them to be asleep, which means for 2-3 weeks, guess somebody's a warden. Essentially, you're running a prison schedule, lights on, lights out, and you're readjusting their schedule. And if you have someone who's a strong night owl or a strong morning, it may not matter. But also at 1 o'clock, yeah, good luck putting them on the schedule.
Yeah,
good luck. You can do it. It's just, it's in my opinion, it's more
1 year old.
Yeah, it's more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're having to control their entire schedule, regimented, so that they go to bed and sleep when you want. And in my experience of having raised, you know, all my boys and my daughter, it doesn't play. It just doesn't. It's not worth the effort. You're better off going for sleep deprived for another 6 months until they can sleep through the night. It's less work. Speaking of work, we're going to move on to some work questions. Okay, what we got? I added a couple here, I think.
My employer fired me because of my smell. All my managers told me I'm an exceptional worker. Why does odor matter so much?
Because people have to work next to you and with you. And, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. And if people can't work with you because they can't stand next to you, what are you going to do? You're going to get rid of everybody else, or they're going to get rid of the person? It's simple math. The question is, is this a medical issue, which then maybe puts you on for an ADA thing, and they could actually force some type of a compliance issue, or is this something you're just not taking care of? You know, is it a personal hygiene issue? Is this you're not doing your laundry, you know, often enough, whatever it is, combination thereof. You know, you've been informed, and my guess is they don't fire you on the first, you know, they have a conversation before this happened, before they fire you over this kind of thing. Someone has to sit down and have an uncomfortable conversation. You think someone wants to sit there and have a conversation? You know, you stink and no one wants to stand around you. You need to really do something about this, or we're going to have to take some kind of action. No one wants to sit down and have that conversation with somebody. Not a single person on this planet. Well, okay, there may be a couple, but there are very few people on this planet that want to have a conversation like that. So imagine how bad it has to be for this to have gotten this far.
Yeah.
And you haven't either dealt with it, either medically, you know, hey, maybe I've got a medical condition that I need to deal with. Like maybe there's some drugs I can take, or maybe there's an accommodation, something. Right. Or you're just not doing some basic proper hygiene and, you know, civic responsibility of, you know, maybe you need to wear deodorant. Maybe you just sweat a lot but you don't like deodorant. Well, find something that you like.
Yeah.
You know, you don't like the stuff with all the chemicals and mercury in it. Well, that's fine. They have natural deodorant.
They do.
You know, it may not be as good, but put it on again at lunch. I've worked with people who've had these kinds of problems, and they worked hard to not make it other people's problem. And this is tough because someone has to tell you the honest truth. You have to deal with this. It's because it's not just you. The people around you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So that's why the odor matters so much. But why does it not matter to you is probably a better question. Either from a medical standpoint or a hygiene standpoint, why does it not matter to you? That's the question I would be asking them. Okay, what's next? This is actually for you. Let me ask you this one. What office rule, because you've worked at far more offices than I have, what office rule made you say, really? What the heck kind of stupid rule is this?
Clocking in.
Yeah.
I never like clocking in.
Yeah, but okay.
That makes no freaking sense.
Well,
in an office, I mean, you get there at 8 and you leave at 5. What's the deal?
Well, you know how that happened in an office? But one, it's happened because of the typewriter pools, but that's because those are more production assembly line type work than others. And assembly, you just punch in, you punch out. It's what assembly workers, warehouse workers, it's what we do. It just makes the calculations for the person doing the payroll far easier. And we don't have to worry about writing it down because we're terrible about that. we won't do it, right? It's just, we forget all the time. We forget to clock in and clock out. We forget to do the time cards half the time. We're stupid. It's just, you know, we've got other things on our mind. We're exhausted at the end of the day, whatever. You know, you're still half asleep, stumbling in. Half of them are still drunk. And so, you know, when you're talking about assembly lines and warehouse workers, and that gets put on. But that's just not a really thing for me. That's just kind of mildly annoying.
Don't understand it.
It just, that actually
makes no sense. Now, I heard of one.
Yeah.
It never happened where I worked. Uh-huh. That the boss was so controlling, you had to let him know you were going to the bathroom. And he would ask you number one or number two.
Yeah, that's overly controlling.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes on an assembly line, you'd have to let someone know you're going to the bathroom. That's because they needed the coverage. Otherwise, otherwise you stuff would back up on the assembly line and you'd have bigger problems.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's, again, the circumstances dictate the weirdness of some of these things. Sometimes when you understand these, oh, okay, that makes sense. You're going to pull somebody out of the assembly line. There's going to be a stoppage. And so stuff's going to back up. And so you kind of can quickly rearrange things or whatever. Slow it down. You know, ask someone to cover quickly. Yeah. But as teammates, you do these things. It's not such a big deal. Because Tom's going to need to go to the bathroom soon, too. So you're going to cover for him. Everybody, you know, it's going to happen. Even though on assembly lines, you do get your breaks relatively regularly. So you know exactly when it is.
Yeah.
So there are some differences. Okay. What's next?
Terminated on 2/23/24. Now they want me to sign a progressive counseling statement. There was no progressive counseling. Mm-hmm. So they're asking her to lie.
Yeah, you don't have to. They fired you. They're trying to prove that they fired you properly. So there may actually be a reason for you to go. This may be a big sign for you to go seek a lawyer. You may actually have a wrongful termination case.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible. Or they're trying to cover their butt on for unemployment. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to sign anything. You've already been terminated. Tell them to pound Sam. Yeah. So that's what I would do. And you may want to talk to somebody about it. Okay.
Okay. Boss is telling me to socialize with colleagues. Should I count that as time worked?
What do they mean?
You know, during the day, you know, sit and chat. Sometimes go out for a beer after work.
Well, if you sit and chat during the day, you're clocked in. So guess what? That's time served. Now, after work, no, that's after work going out and having a beer. Do you have to do that? No. Is it sometimes nice to get to know your employees? Yes. But there's an underlying message to this that he probably just is uncomfortable bringing up. You're not fitting in with the culture. So what he's telling you to do is you need to start trying more harder to fit into the culture. Mm. And rather than just being blunt with you, and say, hey, look, we got a minute. This is kind of hard, but, you know, I always find being upfront with people is better in the long term. You seem to be struggling to fit in with the culture around here. You know, we're a little more lighthearted, you know, and so we kind of joke around a little bit. So, you know, maybe kind of participate a little bit more. You know, try. To fit it. We're not asking for the sun, you know. We know you're only been here 6 weeks or 6 months or whatever. But you know, people want to like you, but they don't know enough about you. So you're kind of hard to work with. Yeah. And then you end up with a conversation back and forth. So you know, I'm glad you said that because I'm feeling isolated myself. You know, you can actually have a discussion.
Yeah.
And you can solve a lot bigger problem. So but no one trains bosses how to do that. Bosses often have to go out and learn these kind of things themselves. They have to self-educate, which is why you have so many bad bosses, because they don't have time to self-educate. So, okay. What's this?
Boss deducting 20% of paycheck for arriving 20 minutes late. Is that legal?
Probably not. They can't deduct you for that.
No, sorry.
No. I mean, they can not pay you for the 20 minutes you weren't there. They can send you home and tell you to go, you know, take a couple of days off unpaid. They can do that, which, of course, would ultimately be 20% of your paycheck, you know. They take you home for a day. that's 20% of your weekly paycheck. If you pay every 2 weeks, send you home for 2 days, that's 20% of your paycheck. They can do that. Especially if you're repeatedly 20 minutes late and you don't have good reasons and you haven't come to any kind of accommodations and you're just kind of being irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it matters in your job, maybe it doesn't. But it is their job, actually, not yours. They pay you to do it. The job will be there if you're not.
Yeah.
Someone else will do it.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah. Now, maybe you need that 20 minutes. Maybe you can't be on time because you have to drop your child off at school and it's just not physically possible to get to work in 20 minutes. Maybe you should have a conversation with your boss about starting 30 minutes later. And then leaving later. You know, or maybe you work on an assembly line and it's not possible. And you're going to have to find a different job or a different schedule. These are the things people have to work out every day, all over the world. Sadly. Okay. But it's the nature of existence. All right. What's next?
Are some workplaces just difficult to fit into?
Well, for the wrong person, the wrong workplace can be impossible to fit into.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, and some people can fit into lots of different types of workplaces. You know, and some people really only thrive in very specific types of workplaces. These things are as varied as the individuals that we all are. So, and yes, there are some highly intense workplaces where only real high-end type A go-getting personalities will kind of work, right? There's some of those kind of things. But, yeah. So, yeah, some workplaces are just very difficult to fit in.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, one of my guesses is that if you wanted to be, say, a Super Bowl winning team, that's probably not a very easy workplace to fit in. If you went and joined, say, the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to come with your A game every day to fit in. There's no slacking off in that environment, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's hard to do. Not everybody can do that. Which is why most teams don't win the Super Bowl. Okay, what's next?
Is showing ambition in this decade no longer a desirable quality?
It's a desirable quality for those who you want it to be. The people who you want to see, right? If you're ambitious. The people who want to see you be ambitious want you to still be ambitious. Don't worry about the TikTok trends. Those people are just as ambitious. They just pretend they're not. Do your thing. Just be yourself. If you're ambitious, be ambitious.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid we be a little ambitious. No, nothing wrong with being ambitious. If the people around you don't like it, surround yourself with different people. You get to make that choice.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, what's next?
How do I give notice? Okay, now, he has a handwritten letter.
Uh-huh.
And so he's going to hand the letter to the boss.
Uh-huh.
What does he say? Here? This is for you? What?
In the modern world, send an email. They wouldn't do the same to you. If you're going to hand them a letter, you might as well just tell them. The letter's just an official statement of what you're saying. So, hey, boss, I'm going to leave in 2 weeks. You know, I appreciate the opportunity to have been here. I like the growth, whatever. You keep it nice. Then you hand them the letter so he has something official to put in his records. Mm-hmm. That's it. If you're not going to say anything, if you're not going to give him the personal explanation, just send an email. The letter is just the official thing of what you're going to personally say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So you tell him the contents of the letter. The letter isn't informing him. It's just a reiteration of what you said.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. So have the. So if you, that's the real proper kind of professional way to give a notice. and keep it professional. You know, don't burn bridges unless you really, really want to. there are times, right? 99 times out of 100, maybe even 99 point something out of 100, you know, don't burn bridges, you know, play nice, just move on. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. But you know, on occasion, you want to gather everybody up on the bridge, throw them at yourself. We're all going to stand here and burn. I can respect that one. Okay, what's next?
Will line of work be impacted positively or negatively by AI?
Oh, well, that's greatly dependent by your view on this and what you do. Work will change. It's like how the word processor changed, you know, how typists, secretaries, whatever you want to call them. We no longer have secretaries because of the word processor, essentially. We now have personal assistants. They do a whole lot more than secretaries used to. Secretaries used to spend a lot of time typing and then retyping when they have to make a mistake or a change, and everything had to be typed. We now just do it in a document and print it once. Yeah, then read it over, correct the two mistakes, and print it again, but... That's the different thing. But it's no different. It's no different than how, you know, we used to have telephone operators who physically moved, made connections when we made phone calls.
With this little plug, yeah, in the cable. Plug it in this hole.
Now that's done. That's been done by computers for decades now. Was that good, bad? It's neither. No value judgment on the advance of technology. Will it make your individual job better? It makes aspects of my jobs much easier while making them more complex. Now I have different things to learn, different tools to learn, different knowledges to have to employ.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when is that any different than it's ever been? 'Tis no different. Is no different than going from the horse and buggy to the car. Tis no different than going from steam power to electric power. It's no different. No different. Okay, what's next?
Okay, does not flushing the toilet at work make you dominant? He feels it is.
What the heck do these people go through their minds?
Flush your toilet, dude.
Nobody cares. Well, now, if you're in an area that has drought type conditions, you may, you know, what is it?
If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it.
Right.
Down.
That's a thing. But if you're thinking about, no one knows that you did or didn't. What you think people are watching? No one cares. The only thing that people, if people find out, they're just going to think you're a jerk. So, dude, that's gross. Stop it. That's all. No one's thinking you're dominant. They're thinking you're dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which I'm not going to say it. Okay. We're going to move on. We're past our time, so we can't have a quick discussion on, there's lots of sex questions tonight. All right. What do we got?
Male roommate 25 walked in on me, 25 female masturbating. Now it's getting weird. He used to wear headphones when he watched his porn and did his thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Now he's not wearing the headphones. The porn is on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, because headphones are annoying when you're watching porn. It just is. But still should have a bit more respect. Who knows? People in their 20s are weird, right? You got all kinds of hormones flowing around.
Yeah.
They do weird things. And he had been able to keep you outside of his sexual perspective, and now he can't anymore. But the nice thing is it'll get back there.
Yeah.
Just give it some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it some time. And if you actually want him to get stopped, you know, put the headphones back on, comment on his on his choices. Ask him what he's watching. Now, it could go kind of wrong, so you're going to have to kind of pull up your best male joking.
Yeah.
It's going to have to kind of be a joke and an insult at the same time to pull it off. So ask your brother for advice. Oh, well, maybe not in this particular case. Ask your best gay friend.
There you go.
There you go. That's the way I'd ask them. Okay, what's next?
We accidentally had sex while sleeping. I've heard of this, but I've never experienced it.
It's not accidental sex while sleeping. It's we're too drunk. We both got really drunk or whatever on whatever adult entertainment they were consuming, and they fell asleep, but not really, and didn't wake up and don't remember really, or at least one of them doesn't remember. The other one isn't going to admit it, but yeah, that's a drunken I don't remember. That's what that is. How did this happen? Because you were too drunk and you don't remember. Stop getting that drunk. That's my suggestion with that. Stop getting I don't remember what happened last night drunk. Did you wake up during sex? You're with a long-term partner, and you have these things where it's okay to have, you know, to initiate sex when you're asleep, right? Long-term partners can do that, right? Most of the time. They wake up 100% of the time. Unless they've been drinking. A lot. I'm just saying. Okay, what's next?
Is there anywhere to keep the sex part going after the honeymoon phase with a new relationship? Well, you know why the honeymoon phase is. It's because of the newness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, every relationship slips into its different phase. That honeymoon phase is going to end. And honor in the next phase is actually just as important as allowing chasing that old feeling. It's like chasing that first hit of a drug, chasing the first hit of a joint, whatever, pick your adult recreation. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Chasing something you're never going to have again. So stop thinking about what was in the past and think about what's in the future. There's beauty in sex that's comfortable. So, and no one heard you say that, by the way.
Very much so.
Okay. What's next?
How to manage the mental aspects of a high sex drive?
Well, the first part is understanding that you have one. Mm-hmm. And then dealing with how you're going to moderate it. Because the real problem with a high sex drive is it will interfere with the rest of your life if you allow it to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, figuring out how to moderate it is important. And that moderation may become hey, I'm going to have a agreement with myself. You know, during the day, during my 9 to 5, whatever it is, you know, you're going to have to stay parked. You don't get to come play. But, you know, behind closed doors, you know, we get to have fun in the house, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe you need to find a partner. You know, maybe this is one of people with really high natural sex drives are the one group of people who I would say, you know, having a sex buddy when it's not outside of a relationship is probably okay. I mean, if you don't have a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
You know, having a booty call buddy, whatever you want to call it. Someone who can scratch your itch. Probably not a
friends with benefits.
There you go. That's the terms I was looking for. God, thank you. I was searching hard for that term and I could not find it. That's probably the one time when I would think it would probably be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as long as both of you understood what itches you're scratching, then you're probably scratching each other's itches There's probably no real risk in long-term relationships. You're probably okay.
Yeah.
But that's a very rare occasion when I would say that. For the most part, you want to stay with, away from friends with benefits. But there is a time and place for everything. All right. So what's next?
In a long-term serious relationship, but I've been realized I'm sexually attracted to men.
That's a woman with woman relationship.
Women with a woman with woman relationship, but I'm realized I'm sexually attracted to men.
Yes.
So you're bisexual. So the thing about being bisexual is you actually are making a choice. You're attracted to both sexes. But what? Forget the genitals. You know, what about the person?
Well, there is the other side of this. There are lots of people who come to their sexuality later in life. Just because this person thought they were a lesbian for a long time and then realized it's no different than that man who raises a family and then 20 years later realizes he's gay. And divorces his wife and goes off. And was he always gay? Did he not realize it? Where'd that come from? Right? There's mm-hmm. probably a path, but that's the same type of thing. It can work both ways. You know, nature's a cruel and unpredictable mistress. So what you have to do is you have to understand what kind of relationship you are in and what do you want? Because being like you've said, though, being sexually attracted to something or someone is a lot different than acting on it.
Yeah.
And so if you're in a long-term committed relationship, it doesn't matter what you're sexually attracted to. You're not going to do anything about it.
It just changes your porn.
It just kind of exists. But if it's more than that.
The porn will change over the years, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's... But if it's making her fundamentally question her sexuality, that's actually a different. That's actually a.
And I would definitely go for counseling.
Yeah.
On that one, and you help navigate. That's a.
That's a beast, and you don't want to make decisions that affect other people's lives without being damn sure. What you're going to.
What you're doing.
And if you're in a serious long-term relationship, this is something that you need to. Discuss with your partner, as difficult as that is going to be, but you have to understand it yourself first, because you can't explain something you can't understand. So you're gonna have to figure out how to be completely honest and figure this out at the same time. But luckily you haven't done anything about it, so right now it's all inside your head. Go get some counseling and then figure out a path forward. Because you're not going to be able to hide that you're sexually attracted to you. You don't want to hide from your partner that you have, you know, basic human feelings. I know lots of lesbians who have physical attractions towards certain men for whatever reason. You know, can make no sense. Okay, everybody's got their thing. Not gonna, it doesn't mean they're going to go off and search out for someone's body double. Yeah, it is what it is. Yep. Some people like certain human forms, and it's fine. Okay, what's next?
Is sexual incompatibility enough to leave a relationship?
It can be, depending upon where you are in life and what you need out of a relationship. Or it can be one of those things that you accept out of your partner that not everything is going to be perfect, and you just deal with it the best you can, like you would anything else, mm-hmm. flaw in your partner. It kind of depends. How important is sex for you, really? Is it the sex you want, or is it the intimacy you want? Is it the love, care, and compassion that you want, or is it the passion that you want? Or what's the algebraic equation of all that?
Yeah.
And what does it come out to? Incompatibility is incompatibility. Well, you know, which branch of that you hang your hat on is your choice. Okay, what's last? We got one last.
Okay.
One more.
Why do I, 20 female, get off on being sub but don't enjoy it in real life? Okay.
That's an easy one.
She believes she's submissive because she believes in male dominance and all that hoo-ha. All right? But if she gets into a real life situation and they want to be rough with her and choke her and call her names, and
that's not the kind of submission she wants.
Yeah.
There's it's like Baskin Robbins. There's various flavors. Excuse me. There's various flavors. So you're going to have to go find the flavor of submission if you want. Maybe it's not sexual submissiveness she's looking for.
Yeah.
Maybe she just wants something that's more traditional in life, and she's been programmed that that's submissive. You know, maybe she's gone to some far feminist college or something. She's learned that you know, the traditional marriage is oppressive. And so if she views it from that perspective, then that would, you know, a traditional marriage would be submissive from that perspective.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether they have a point or not aside, from that perspective, it is. And so for her, if she's just looking for that, but she's telling people out in the sexual world that she's so submissive, she's sending a vastly wrong signal. You know,
church.
Yeah. Well,
if you're looking for something very traditional,
or if you are looking for something sexually submissive, there's all kinds of submissiveness.
Well, yes.
Yes, so the submissiveness doesn't have to be, you know, degrading.
No, it doesn't have to at all.
It can be, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be all these various different, it can be many, many, many ways. And you get to figure that out for yourself. So, but maybe I would suggest that you kind of figure out exactly what you mean by that before you continue down that exploration. So when you actually go look for it, you can find what you're actually looking for.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for us tonight. We want to thank you all for joining with us on this journey through. Oh, God, what was this journey through tonight? It was, I don't even know. I need some adult recreation is what I need at the end of this show. Oh, we had all kinds of comments tonight. Who knows? Yeah. So, anyway.
Something about Satan's mark.
Woohoo! I don't care.
Well, you know, we get a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot, but I think about, it's been averaging for a couple weeks now, once a week we get a religious comment. Now, I have to start noticing if it's the same person or not.
I don't know. Then I'll have to go figure out the timeline with what they were even talking about. So anyway, we're out of here tonight. I want to thank you guys for joining with us. For me and Lubby, have a good week. Take care of each other. And please remember to love everybody.
Good night.